Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to OVW Overview, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you coverage and analysis of Ohio Valley Wrestling and discussions with some of the stars themselves. And now the GWH Radio Network presents OVW Overview.
Hey everybody, hello, ho, 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 VW everyone. It's December 11th, 2011, and welcome, whether you're listening live or on the archive. Oh!
Surprise!
Yeah, you're full of something, Goodman. Hey, everybody! Hello, ho, ho, BW, everyone. December 11th, 2011, and welcome to episode 3 of OVW Overview, right here on the GWH Radio Network. Of course, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. It's that time of the month again, folks. This is a once a month podcast where we discuss all things Ohio Valley wrestling related. And, of course, I am Trent Van Dries, and you're all the better for it. And let me introduce the sneaky bastard behind the switchboard, the man from Norcross, Georgia. Maybe I should call you, like, you heard of Rudy Switchblade? Maybe I should call you, like, Larry Switchboard or something. Larry Goodman, folks. What's up, Larry? Thank you.
I forgot to tell you I got the theme back. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing, Larry?
I'm doing fine. Glad to be here.
Good. Glad to have you, as always. And, yeah, you're always full of surprises. I'll give you that. And also on the line is our other co-host, Captain Kayfabe himself, Muhammad Ali Vaez. How you doing, Ali?
Trent, I would appreciate it if you introduced me as the Persian grappler and regional television villain, Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Persian grappler and regional television fill-in, Muhammad Ali Vaez. How you doing, Ali?
I am doing fantastic, Trent. It is a beautiful Sunday here in Louisville, Kentucky, as I am driving my luxury sedan to 4400 Shepherdsville Road for the big Homecoming 6 show this evening.
Right. I was going to mention at the top of the bat, Homecoming. If you're anywhere in the Louisville area listening to the show live, tonight, or this afternoon, is Homecoming 6, as Ali mentioned, with a 5 p.m. bell time. Nick Dinsmore on the card, Rob Conway, Flash Flanagan, and a special non-wrestling appearance by none other than Matt Capitelli. So that should be a lot of cool stuff going on there today. And Ali, are you wrestling on the show?
I am, Trent. I will be making my first appearance at a Homecoming, even though OVW is my current home. So it's not really coming home. It's more like going to the building twice in 1 week. But I will be there, nonetheless, to take on either one of Nick Dinsmore's foolish students or perhaps one of the wily veterans. Who knows? All you know is that with Muhammad Ali Vaez, probably dropping an elbow at some point.
Yeah, these homecoming shows, they do them every few months, and they, like Ali said, they're kind of a mix of veterans and a couple guys coming back to OVW, and then also it seems like they have a lot of students debut at these shows. You know, so
absolutely.
Kind of
the concept of the show, if I understand correctly, is that Nick Dinsmore does his beginner's class here at OVW, and every 8 to 12 weeks, I believe, he graduates a new set of his class. And the Homecoming show is designed to be their graduation show. back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I mean like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we did we used to do amateur shows once a month when WWE
yeah.
was here, and this was the developmental center. So this is kind of similar to the old amateur show concept, except instead of doing it every month, they do it, I believe, every few months. But the turnout
right.
is always great, and these guys always bust their butt to sell tickets. So it's a nice full building every time, and they put together some really nice shows. So I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, I was at one where Mickey McMichael won a Battle Royal. I still haven't gotten over that, Ali. But
yeah, so anything can happen. Anything can happen at these shows.
But like you mentioned, I've been to one or two. I can't go to this one because I'm working, but I get the DVDs. But they are almost all, if not sellouts, darn close to it. They always draw a good crowd for these things because, like you said, guys sell tickets, and they got some vets coming back in, so they always sell tickets. So
yeah, anytime
also,
you can put Rob Conway on the poster, you know asses are in seats.
Yeah.
Period.
So I guess Nick Densmore is, this is not much of a secret, he's been in India training wrestlers, I believe, for the Jeff Jarrett TNA India project. Apparently, he's back for the show?
That is word on the street. Word on the street is that I know he's back because I saw him on Friday, but word on the street is that he was out in India doing great things, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the future. But, things are looking real good right now, and Nick Densmore, I believe, will be at Homecoming. It is his joint effort with the Con Man, so I would
right.
expect a Nick Densmore appearance.
Well, let me ask you this, Ali. I saw this somewhere online, so you'd be a good person to ask. Like, if Nick Densmore trained somebody from Indy to be a pro wrestler, does that make him an indie worker or like an India worker or something? Or
that is a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I would have to see his hip toss, then I could tell you.
Okay.
It's all in the footwork, Trent.
Okay. Is that right? Is that where it's at?
The question is, on the line to see if they're a believable Indian. Then maybe.
Oh.
Right.
Right.
Well, they've struck out with a believable Persian, but maybe they'll have better luck with a believable. Actually, you could probably pull off a believable Indian now that I think about it.
You think so?
This could be your calling.
Jeez. This could be. You know, there's a lot of people that live in India, Trent. It's like a billion people. That's an awesome
I know.
And since I look like Juventud Guerrero, it would be perfect for me to, go in there and do the lucha that I do,
Juventud with a turban. I still love that. Hey, also, if anybody's missed it, there's a sensational article in Leo Weekly magazine on OVW. Really a great article, a front page article. It's in print form. It's available all over Louisville. But if you go to leoweekly.com, the article is called Learning the Ropes, and it talks about Nick Densmore's school. It talks about people in the crowd, especially longtime fan Donna, a lady who had a heart attack at an OVW show and still stayed for the rest of the show. And it just really kind of captures what the OVW experience is like. Did you like the article, Ali?
I love the article. They captured Rip Rogers so perfect with just a few lines that they mentioned, those quotes. But any student of Rip Rogers will tell you that is exactly how Rip is. And he is a wrestling encyclopedia. See, it's really nice to see, coverage by the Leo. And with Gilbert Corsi involved, we get Fox 41 coverage. But for the guys who've been working here for so long and so hard for years, it is really nice to see OVW starting to become a part of the fabric of Louisville culture. And being, in the Leo, even this podcast, just a lot of momentum is going on right now. I think as a whole, it helps the entire product. And more importantly, I think it puts OVW in a position to where it really helps the company itself.
Well, do you think that it was part of the fabric of Louisville back when, back in the really strong WWE developmental days, do you think it kind of tailed off? Is it coming back? Is that the way you feel about it? Or?
Well, no, not really. I think back in the WWE days, it was more of a function of WWE because you have wrestling fans everywhere. And the big draw then was that you would have WWE superstars showing up just randomly at TV shows. But at the same time, you got to compare apples to apples. Back in 2005, 2006, 2007, when you go back and watch that footage, the building was full, but admission was free. So With free admission, it is not nearly as difficult to fill up a 400-seat building as it is when you're charging any kind of admission. Now, with that said, I think it was more to do with the fact that wrestling fans were aware of WWE's developmental territory as opposed to the Louisville community at large being aware of Ohio Valley Wrestling. Our television show was on a much stronger network at that time, so people did watch, and I was recognized around town back then.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think now we're trying to build it into a grassroots thing where when people talk about Louisville, you know, it's the birthplace of Muhammad Ali. It's one of the cultivating fertile grounds of professional wrestling. That's what we're trying to build towards. And with OVW's lineage here in this city, I think it's a perfect opportunity to do that.
Good answer, good answer. I wanted to mention, too, that our special guest today will be OVW rookie sensation and former heavyweight champion Jason Wayne. And, Larry, just let me know when Mr. Wayne gets on the line, if he's not already.
He is on the line already.
Well, great. I'll go ahead and introduce him. Like I just said, this man has taken OVW by storm in 2011 in several ways. Rookie sensation, former heavyweight champion, former U.S. Marine, the Gutsy, Jason Wayne. Jason, how you doing?
Good, Trent. How are you today?
Good, man. Good, man. Thank you for joining us. Now,
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, great having you, buddy. We've talked about the homecoming show today at 5 p.m., and I had read, tell me if this is true or not, I had read that you made your professional wrestling debut at Homecoming 2 versus Smooth Johnny Spade. Is that true, Mr. Wayne?
That is very true, as a matter of fact. I just finished up Nick Dinsmore's beginner's class. I'd moved on to Rip Rogers' program, and Nick let me make my debut there at Homecoming 2. It was a great experience. At the time, it had been probably the biggest crowd I'd worked in front of at that point, and it was a good time. Time I'll never forget, actually. It was just, I don't know, overall great time. My first match in the Davis Arena, as a matter of fact. So it's where a lot of people get a chance to make their debuts, you know, working in front of the Davis Arena crowd and just in Louisville in general. So it's a great show. I'd suggest everyone go out to that tonight if they get a chance.
Yeah, great deal. And let's go back a little bit, Jason. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you were, how long were you in the Marines, and how did you first come to be involved with OVW?
I went into the Marine Corps August of 2006. I went to boot camp. I was in for 4 years, and basically, to make a long story short there, I was on my second deployment in Afghanistan at the time, and we were kind of on that borderline of maybe teetering on whether I was going to reenlist or get out. Still didn't really know. My wife is actually from here in Louisville. She was kind of leaning more towards me getting out with the deployments and everything. So she wanted to come back to this area, and I was kind of against it at first. And I didn't really, if I did get out, I didn't really want to move to Louisville just because I wasn't from here. I kind of wanted to stay in the North Carolina area. But then I realized OVW was here in Louisville, and it was a dream that I'd always had, obviously, to become a professional wrestler, and it kind of all fell into place all at once. She wanted to move here. OVW was here. So I decided, you know, to go ahead and get out and take my chance, see where it led me, and hopefully, you know, you'll see big things for me in the future. I'm having a great time already while I'm here. I'm being trained by some of the best in the world. And not only that, but just the talent on OVW's roster as well is always a huge help to me, always great training from all of them as well.
Now, you mentioned you were living in North Carolina. Are you actually from up in Indiana somewhere? Is that where you were?
I grew up in Indiana, a town called Spencer. It's just outside of Bloomington where Indiana University is. So that's where I originally grew up and left when I went to boot camp, and then I spent the majority of my time in North Carolina from there.
So back before you joined the Marines, did you already know of OVW, that it existed and stuff, or were you just more of a WWE-style wrestling fan?
Well, I'd heard of OVW was a thing, but I was never really in a position where I could just kind of pick up and move to Louisville and, you know, join the school. So it just kind of all, I guess, 5 years later, after I'd first heard of OVW, I guess it just kind of all fell into place. So it was just, you know, the perfect timing. My wife wanted to move here. I really wanted to chase my dream being a pro wrestler, so it just so happened she wanted to move to Louisville. OVW's in Louisville, so it just really all kind of worked out for the best there.
Well, I guess it's worked out for everybody because I guess you could say 2011 has been the year of Jason Wayne and OVW, especially over the summer, but I was kind of looking over some old results when I just to get ready for this, and I had kind of forgot about this a little bit, but early on, like February 2011, you actually had some matches against our co-host here for the OVW TV title against Muhammad Ali Baez. What's your memories of those matches?
I did. I started out, you know, not so good against Mr. Baez. He gave me a lesson or two in the ring, showed me some things. We haven't had a chance to maybe, you know, relive those lessons since I kind of, you know, went on my run as OVW Heavyweight Champion, TV Champion. I feel like we could be on a collision course at some point, though. You never know. Collision course off again very soon. Collision courses are a big thing. You never know. We may step into the ring again once again. We have done tag team action against each other, though. That is a fact. But no singles competition in a while.
I'll ask you too, Ali. You know, if people haven't seen Jason Wayne, Jason, to tell us what size you are, because you're not a small gentleman.
I'm 6'4", and I'm weighing in around 247 right now.
Yeah, this is a big man. And Ali, what were your impressions of Jason in those early matches? Were you kind of like, this guy's a horse?
Well, yeah, absolutely, Trent. I mean, I've worked with a lot of guys who are physically much larger than me. I mean, I have quite the swimmer's build. But nonetheless, Jason had all the raw talent in the world, very humble guy, and I believe I defeated him very soundly, as I usually do. But I'll tell you this, Trent. I'll tell you this. This is what I remember about working with Jason Wayne a year and a half ago, was that I took 6 body slams in a row. At a television taping, and then that was the last I've had with Jason Wayne. So, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd say eventually our paths will cross. I do feel like we're on a collision course, but despite the fact that both of us are on this interview right now, Trent, I just have to let you know that I hate Jason Wayne with everything in my being, and if I wasn't so wrapped up with Michael Hayes trying to make a name off of my career, then I would be beating down Jason Wayne's door. The only thing that we have in common is that we are trained bodybuilding sense by the same man, his name is Glenn Poore. That is the only thing that Jason Wayne and I have in common. Other than that, I think he's a piece of trash. I think he's a phony patriot, and I can't wait to beat up his 6'4", 246-pound frame and show him why Muhammad Ali Baez is the man.
You need to get by Michael Hayes first. I'll get back to that in a minute. But Jason, man, this guy, this Ali guy. Woo. But Jason, now, been told many times that you bear, like, a slight resemblance to The Rock? Have you heard much about that? Because to me, I mean, your character isn't the same, but just your face and stuff and your skin tone and I guess your size, you do bear a bit of resemblance to that man.
Actually, I've never heard that. I could kind of see it now, though, that you bring it up. But
yeah.
Honestly, I guess I look a little bit more like him than Muhammad Ali Baez does a Persian, so.
Those are our things.
Oh, Jason Wayne, you stand alone, I'll tell you.
I do, and I hate you every step of the way.
Yeah, Jason, you continued on, kind of building momentum through the spring, and then I think where you really kind of caught fire in OVW was, I guess, around June when Mondo was forced to vacate the OVW title after, what did you do, beat up Danny Davis, I believe, and OVW was vacant, or was that when
Ruby on a rampage.
Yeah. And the OVW title was vacant, and they held a tournament for the OVW title. And Mr. Wayne, you know, caught fire. You beat James Moose Thomas, you beat Smooth Johnny Spade in the tournament, and you went on to defeat Mike Mondo, one of the best wrestlers in the world, at the July 2nd OVW Saturday Night Special. Just maybe tell us a little bit about your, I guess, I have to say, meteoric rise to the top of OVW and winning the OVW Heavyweight title.
Well, that night, Trent, was a very amazing night, as you can probably figure. Being in front, it was a huge crowd. I think it was up over 400 at the Davis Arena that night. Basically, I mean, just to make a long story short, it was, you know, being able to hold that title is a huge honor. It's no surprise of who all's held that title in their time in OVW and gone on to do great things, whether it be in Impact Wrestling, WWE, wherever. It's just words can't really describe how much that night meant as far as just a stepping stone in my career to maybe, you know, go on one day to either Impact Wrestling or WWE. So, and the overall match was amazing. The feeling, the crowd, everything was there. So it was one of my most favorite matches so far.
Yeah, it was a very good match, too. And like I said, to get by Mike Mondo is quite a feather in your hat.
Yes.
And you went on to have a, I believe, a 117, is that right, day run with the title? Very, very impressive.
I do believe, yeah, right around there. Yeah, and even just let me throw in just the fact getting to work with Mike Mondo was a great experience alone. Learned a lot from him over that whole feud and everything. It's a great experience. And then, like you said, went on a title run of, I think you said, around 117 days. I don't know the exact number, but got to work with some great people during that time as well in the main event scene. So.
Yeah, some of the people you worked with, it's interesting. Your debut match was against Smooth Johnny Spade. And
yes.
Beat Spade in the tournament leading to the title, and you also beat Spade, was it at the August Saturday Night Special? And that was, in the story there was Spade was finally getting a crack at the OVW title after, what, 14 years in the business or something, and you got by Johnny Spade, a very, very tough opponent, but you seem to have his number a little bit. What are your thoughts of wrestling with Smooth Johnny Spade?
Well, like you said, 14 years in the business. Definitely another guy I've learned a lot from in our time together. As I mentioned earlier, he was my very first match in OVW at the Davis Arena. Faced off in the tournament going toward the heavyweight title and then again in August. So it's no surprise we've had a lot of experience together. We've tagged together before and learned some things from him there as well. So he's always been, you know, willing to help me out in any way whenever I ask him. So it's always been nothing but a great experience with him.
Let me ask your thoughts. You've wrestled this guy a few times, and he had a shot at your title, and not a major title contender, but he seems like he gave you trouble, and just your thoughts in general on the mentally unstable Tony Gunn.
I think the bear says it alone. I mean, the fact that the guy carries around a stuffed bear, I mean, there's just something a little weird about that. And, I mean, I don't know. He talks to it, and he sticks money in it. Like, I don't know what his deal is, really. He kind of freaks me out. But
sticks a brick
honestly,
in it?
I don't know. What's that? Sorry.
He stuck a brick in it? You got to be careful.
Yeah, exactly. He's always putting things in that bear. I think it should personally be banned from the Davis Arena.
Yeah.
I don't know. The bear is just kind of weird to me. But, I mean, each his own, I guess.
He seems like a guy that could be a good wrestler, though. You know? In spite of all his... what can I say? His zany antics?
Definitely. You can't look past his wrestling ability. I mean, it's just the bear alone. I don't know. It's just something about the bear that bothers me. I've never been a big fan of bears, you know. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of them, personally. But, I mean, he's had his history with Smooth Johnny Spade and now Shiloh as well. So, I mean, but you can't take away from the guy's ability in the ring. He is very good in the ring, so. I don't know. I just can't get past the bear, Trent. I mean,
and then that,
I don't know. That's all it is, really.
Yeah, well, that bear is something. And then, you know, that slimy skunk, Muscagney. I even hate to say his name.
Ah, geez, it's Sunday, Trent. Do we really have to go into that?
Well, it's just
the Lord's Day of Rest.
Well, the fact is,
I don't know.
The fact is, Jason, he was a big, well, he's still a big part of your time in OVW. You know, he put a $25,000 bounty on you that was never collected. He had Andreas Rossi come from under the ring as a ninja or something and attack you, leading to Andreas Rossi versus you at the September Saturday Night Special. And what are your thoughts on Muscagney, just out of curiosity? Of course, at the last week's Saturday Night Special, you did the whole world a favor by throwing him up the side door and depositing him in the parking lot. Thank you for that.
I
Go
did.
Ahead.
That was also one of my most favorite moments since I've been in OVW. I mean, that alone should tell you how I feel about Christian Muscagney. I don't know. We really don't have enough time to really go into how I feel about him. And like I said, it's Sunday, the day of peace.
Yeah.
I really just rather ignore that question, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, it's like trying to block the sun with one finger, but I'll let you ignore it. But it's a pimple on your ass on prom night. He ain't going away. But I'll move on. I'll move on. Well, I guess the other really notable thing about your title reign and what ended your title reign, ironically enough, your trainer, Nick Densmore, there was a multi-person tag match that Nick Densmore had. Was it Mondo Hurt? And you came in with a full Nelson Slam and won the match, and Densmore called for a handshake, which you did not see. You left, and I don't think that was the whole story, though, but the next week, Densmore just went berserk, berated you, challenged you to a match, and, well, you lost the title, but in losing the title, you also received multiple stitches over your head when Densmore headbutted you and knocked you out of the ring. The match had to be stopped for several minutes while the crew worked on you, taped your head up, and restarted, and, I mean, there's even more, but I guess give your thoughts on Nick Densmore at this point, and then the whole thing with you losing the title.
Well, Nick Densmore, as you know, brought me into wrestling, basically. I started out, obviously, here in OVW in his beginner's class. Was always a friend to me leading up until just, you know, I guess just over a month ago, a couple months ago. I don't know what it was. I don't know if there's a little bit of jealousy leading up to the handshake. And then afterwards, I just kind of set him off the rest of the way. I don't know. We haven't obviously talked or had a civilized conversation after that. I haven't even seen him since he left about a month ago. I called him out a couple of times. He wasn't around. You never know, I mean, when that could escalate again, when he might show up or when I might show up when he's in the Davis Arena. So, I mean, it's just kind of hard to say what really set him off. If it was jealousy, if it was the fact that he knew he trained me and he saw my success, I don't know. I really don't see us ever recovering from what happened, ever being friends again or ever coming out of that. Because if you remember the next week, he did the exact same thing, hit me in the head with my title, title at the time. And it was just, I don't know. I lost a lot of respect for him over the course of those 2 weeks, something I didn't see coming at all.
Yeah, boy, it just happened so, so fast. I mean, what were your thoughts when you got busted open and they were working on your head? I mean, I know you're just in the moment, but what were you thinking at that time? What were you thinking?
I just wanted to keep going. I mean, I knew obviously we had to stop, but I mean, it was just, to me, it was kind of annoying. Not kind of, it was very annoying more than anything. The fact that we did have to stop the match. I mean, I know there's the rules and everything, but I was more annoyed than anything, I guess you could say, would be the one word to sum it up.
Yeah, and then when they got you finally fixed up, you wrestled for 4 minutes, and Denver hit you with your own title and won the title, so it's like insult to injury. And now, you know, you have been desperate to get your hands on Densmore. However, he's been in India, so you haven't been able to get your hands on him. And are you still looking to do that, or are you kind of moving on for now from that?
I'll never move on from what he did, no. I can't say a time or a place that's going to happen, but it will happen eventually. He will pay for what he did. It's not going to go away just because he went to India for a month. I mean, I'll get my hands on him eventually, and it's going to happen at some point. I can't say when, but it will happen.
Yeah, and I say good luck to Nick Densmore then, because Jason's a pretty low-key fellow, but an angry Jason Wayne is something to avoid. Well, Jason, I know you got limited time today, and I want to really thank you for joining us, you know, and your family on Sunday. But, Larry, you got any questions for Jason?
Yeah. Jason, it's a pleasure to speak with you, by the way. I was
Thank you.
To know, you touched on how you the run you had with the heavyweight title and getting the title with really not that much, you know, experience in wrestling. I just wonder how much pressure did you feel being in that position and being so new to wrestling?
Honestly, when it first started out, it was kind of a shocker, you know, that, you know, as you said, I was very new. But at the same time, I felt ready. I mean, OVW is known for all the great trainers and, like I said before, talent in the back. So it's not like I got the title and I was in a situation where there was no one around for me to really turn to for advice or anything like that. So there's a lot of people in OVW that I trust and feel like I can talk to when needed. I feel like that alone helped me out a lot. So just that, and then I just took the situation and ran with it. I feel like I played it up to the best of my ability. And it really, honestly, I didn't really feel a whole lot of stress just because I was having so much fun with it. It was a great experience, something I'd never trade in for the world. So
nice. You know, someone with your look and size and desire obviously is going to draw interest from TNA and WWE. Do you have a preference for where you would want to go?
I do not have a preference at this time. It kind of just comes down to who's willing to give me a shot. I'm not going to discriminate against either one. That's really all it comes down to. You know, it's just I want to go to one of them. It kind of, like I said, it's just who's willing to give me a shot, who's willing to give me a chance, and just kind of play from there, see where it goes.
Just one other thing, backing up to before you got into wrestling, when did you know that pro wrestling is what you really wanted to do?
I knew it as a kid, as I feel a lot of guys do when they first, you know, have the dream of being a pro wrestler, but it was just the chance of actually making it happen. I was never really in a situation where, like I said, I knew about Ohio Valley Wrestling, but I was never really in a situation where I could just pick up and move all my things to Louisville, Kentucky. So I'm very fortunate enough to be able to, you know, live out my childhood dream and be able to do this, whereas a lot of guys, I think, might not be as fortunate. So I'm very happy about that, you know, thank God every day for that opportunity. But when I was in, like I said, Afghanistan, my second deployment, that was when I finally made the decision. You know, I said, you know what, you only live once, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get out, I'm going to move to Louisville, I'm going to go to OVW, I'm going to train and see where it takes me. So that was when I made my final decision on it.
Was there anybody in particular that, you know, influenced you or drew you to wrestling as a child?
Not really. Nobody in my family was really into it, honestly. As weird as that might sound, a lot of guys, you know, you hear them having experiences with their family and stuff like that, but nobody was really a huge wrestling fan in my family. It was just kind of me, so.
What do they think about you being in wrestling now?
They're all very proud of me. They think it's great. At first, when they found out, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps, I had a great career there. I don't know. They weren't really disappointed, but they were just kind of caught off guard, kind of like, what? You know, you're a sergeant in the Marine Corps, now you're going to get out and chase your dream of being a pro wrestler. So it kind of caught them off guard for a minute. But, I mean, as far as now, they're 100% happy with the way it's going and how I'm, you know, making a name for myself here in OVW and hopefully move on, you know, to either, like you said, Impact Wrestling or WWE one day. But they're 100% supportive. I have a great wife who's very supportive, so it's great for all of us. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Trent, back to you.
Well, just two things real quick, Jason. I know you don't want me to mention Skunk Face. You know who I mean, but, you know, this past Wednesday, you had a no DQ match with OVW champion Rudy Switchblade, and Skunk Face sent out his charge, the very muscular black gentleman, Marcus Anthony, who took you out with an F5. You have any comments on that? And are we now looking to see you maybe get some revenge on Mr. Anthony in the coming weeks?
Well, Marcus Anthony definitely took my attention off of Nick Densmore for the time being. I guess
yeah.
You could say that much. As you saw, I had Rudy Switchblade, just gave him the full Nelson Slam, was going for the pin. Marcus Anthony came out in F5, made to make a long story short.
Yes.
I know Mascagni was behind it. He had to have been. I will give him this. He's always got a backup plan. He got, you know, thrown out by Trailer Park Trash earlier in the match, and I guess in this case, Marcus was his backup plan, and a very large one at that. So,
yeah.
He'll definitely be one of the biggest guys that I've ever been in the ring with the exception of probably James Moose Thomas, a little bit bigger. But as far as strength and everything goes, Marcus definitely will be the top guy I've ever been in the ring with as far as all that goes, but he can't match my toughness. I do know that much. He's got his work cut out for him. If he wants to attack me from behind and think he's going to get away with it, he's sadly mistaken.
And I hate to say it, and I could be wrong, but that actually might have been your last title match for at least a little while.
It could have been. And
yeah.
That's going to make him pay for it that much more, you know.
Exactly.
I'll probably have to go to the back of the line now after that. But
yeah.
That's okay. I've been there before, and I'll work my way back up just like I did before.
Yeah, it's that's kind of like a double whammy there, you know. So, hey,
yeah,
just one more thing, real quick, and I'll let you go. But you mentioned your wife a couple times, and your wife, she pulled a fast one on me some months ago. I understand that people at OVW were trying to figure out who was writing the reports, and it was your wife, unbeknownst to me, that snapped a cell phone picture of me or something that went backstage, and that's how it was stooged off who I was. So thanks a lot, Jason Wayne's wife, for that.
I can't confirm nor deny if she was in on that out of fear of her slapping me when I get off the phone, but I can't say that she was at it alone if she was involved. In fact, I believe that your current girlfriend was also involved in this. That's
yeah,
just rumors.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's really what slumped me was my current girlfriend, if you want to know the truth about it. But your wife didn't do me.
She did the dirty work, I guess. Yeah.
Did the dirty work.
Did the real
work.
And
Larry, this cracked me up because I heard for a while they were trying to figure out who was writing reports because nobody in the crowd looked smart enough to do it. So I think that is a compliment. Not that I was smart enough to do it. Anyway, that cracked me up, Jason. Well, Jason, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and taking time out of your Sunday to be with us. And continued luck, and we'll be you're definitely a wrestler that all the fans should be keeping an eye on in 2012. Definitely up and coming in the rest of the wrestling business. So thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you, Trent. Thank you, Larry, for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is Mr. Valles still on the line?
He is.
All right, Ali, I know you need to go pretty quick, don't you, Ali?
I do need to make my exit here within probably the next 10 minutes.
Okay,
I'm at the Davis Arena currently.
Okay, good deal. Well, I guess what I wanted to ask you about was at this Wednesday's TV taping. By the way, OVW used to release their episodes on Mondays. They've now started releasing their episodes on Saturdays, 2 days earlier. So you can actually watch online in some cases before it even airs on television now. So episodes released every Saturday at ovwrestling.com. You can check out every new episode. And Ali, on this newest episode, your longtime nemesis Michael Hayes came out and challenged you to a one-on-one steel cage match at the Saturday Night Special on January the 7th. And I guess, Ali, I'm going to put your feet to the fire. I want a scoop right here on OVW Overview for next Wednesday's TV. Do you accept? Do you accept Michael Hayes' challenge?
Well, Trent, it's not that easy. First, let me just say this. My longtime nemesis, I don't think, is an accurate description because that would imply that Michael Hayes has been around for longer than a cup of coffee, and that would imply that his career consists of more than five matches against me. So I would not call him my nemesis. Instead, I would call him an annoying thorn in my side who has distracted me for almost a full year because
that's
he wants to make a name off of me. That's not a
nemesis.
Trent, come on. That's not a nemesis. A nemesis is somebody who you struggle with over a period of time. So regardless of the semantics, am I going to accept this match? I don't know yet. I honestly don't know. I didn't even want to accept the first match with the guy. I mean, he has one leg. Get real. It's not a contest. I don't want to beat him up in front of his mother again. But every time, he won't quit. He wants to prove something. I don't know who he's proving it to. I don't know. Trent, I mean, geez. I don't know. You can't trust him. He went on that run for a few months where he was attacking me everywhere I went. I'd walk into the locker room and boom, he's attacking me. You know what they call that, Trent? They call that terrorism. When you're fighting people with fear. When you are using fear tactics because you don't have the skill or the talent or the ammunition to go toe-to-toe with the superior adversary. That is the definition of terrorism, and that is what Michael Hayes has been doing for the last 7 months of my life. So do I accept his challenge for a cage match? I guess you'll have to see on Wednesday. There may or may not, Trent, be a stipulation. I don't just get into a cage match. You know what I mean? The last time I was in a steel cage, I was beating up Dean Hill, the announcer. So cage matches are a big deal for Muhammad Ali Vaez. I don't flippantly do this, and I have not yet determined whether or not I'm going to give Michael Hayes the rub of saying that he had a cage match with the only man in this company to also have a steel cage match with Dean Hill.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Ali, you haven't beat this guy since July. And as Mr. Hayes brought up in the interview, since then you've been bringing people from your past back. You brought back Omar Akbar. You brought back Bin Hameen. Who are you going to bring back next, for Christ's sake? Mr. B or something? I mean, you...
Why, first off, Mr. B was lucky that he's an asterisk within the career of Muhammad Ali Baez. So, no, I will not be bringing him back. But what I will say...
Okay.
Well, you know, Trent, you are assuming automatically that I'm going to have somebody else get involved. When
This is your chance. You haven't beat this guy in months. This is your chance to get him one-on-one. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. That's the idea.
Trent, I haven't wrestled this guy in months. Let's tell the full story. I haven't wrestled this guy in months because he got his ass beat by me so bad that he had to run around and act like a phony terrorist making my life difficult. So that's why I haven't wrestled him. Then Cliff Compton wants to get involved and create some internet press. So, you know, you can't say that I haven't wrestled him or I haven't beaten him in months, because I haven't wrestled Michael Hayes in months. Instead, he's been hanging out at hospitals. He's been doing everything else except coming into the wrestling arena, Davis Arena, and having matches with Muhammad Ali Vaez. Because at the end of the day, Trent, I am a better athlete. I am a smarter athlete. I am more talented, and I will come out ahead each and every time. Don't mind the flukes where the 11th man, the Davis Arena faithful, came through and helped Michael Hayes achieve the impossible. Because let me tell you something, Trent. Lightning does not strike twice, and Michael Hayes will not be victorious the next time we face. That I guarantee you. Whether or not I'll be meeting him in a steel cage at the next Saturday Night Special, I guess you'll have to tune in on Wednesday.
Well, let me ask you this, because this has been murky. It's never been confirmed. Did you put Michael Hayes in the hospital, yes or no?
Yes, Trent, absolutely.
Okay, well,
Omar Akbar and I beat Michael Hayes up so bad in that match with Cliff Compton. Literally, if Cliff Compton hadn't been in that match, the outcome would have been much different. So I'll give Mr. Media Cliff Compton his due there. But for Michael Hayes, the end result is that when you face the insurgency, when you face Omar and Ali Akbar, the two most dominant tag team members this company has produced within the last 10 years, you're going to get hurt. And that's what happened. Michael Hayes sat on the shelf for 6 weeks. Because he wanted to pick a fight with a guy who isn't going to back down just because Michael Hayes has a feel-good story. I don't give a shit about his feel-good story, nor do I care about what has happened to him in his life. What I care about is the difficulties he has created in my life in trying to become this nemesis that I don't need. So, yes, Michael Hayes' stay at the hospital is 100% due to Muhammad Ali Vaez. And if he wants to press this cage match issue even farther after the next Saturday Night Special, he's going to spend 6 months in the hospital, not 6 weeks.
Well, by the way, just yesterday I saw that, I guess, infamous match with Cliff Compton at the November Saturday Night Special. I finally watched – well, I watched it live, but I watched it on DVD. And I will say I didn't see this live, but Mr. Compton – cranked you in the Yoo-Hoo pretty good on the finish, and then he actually pulled your pants down. I missed that live.
Well, I guess you should have got on the internet for the real scoop, Trent. I guess you should have done that.
He pantsed you.
He did. He did. He did pants me. But, you know, do you see him around today? No, you don't. So
I guess he may
have won that battle. I guess he won the battle. I won the war. So regardless, I'll be facing Michael Hayes possibly at this next Saturday Night Special. I know Danny Davis is going to pressure me to take this match for two reasons. Number one, he's going to pressure me because he wants this building to sell out again, and I completely understand that. When Muhammad Ali Vaez is on top of the card, there are asses in seats. A. B, he's also going to pressure me to take this match for the same reason that he put the seed in Michael Hayes' head to begin with, and that's because Danny Davis is a racist, and so are the fans at OVW. They want to see a legitimate veteran go up against someone of Persian descent. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Wayne wants to get in on the party too, because of his background as a Marine. And it doesn't matter, Trent. All of you people can throw your hatred on me. I can face all this adversity just because of the color of my skin. That's fine. But at the end of the day, Trent, I am smarter. I am better. I am better trained. And I will come out on top in any situation that I am put under, Trent. Any situation.
Well, let me just ask you, I guess finally here, unless you have more to say, what are your goals for 2012?
Well, I definitely want to make 2012 the year that I make an impact upon wrestling business.
Okay.
I've got a couple goals. I'd like to put Michael Hayes once and for all out of my life. That would be a short-term goal.
You got a chance to do that Wednesday night, though.
Yeah.
Well, I do. And you know what, Larry? I may take it on Wednesday. I may take it at the Saturday Night Special. I may take it in the parking lot. I may take it to Cliff Compton's house. You never know. It might happen somewhere. But what I will tell you is that Michael Hayes being out of my life is one goal. I would like to achieve being OVW Heavyweight Champion, so that's a definite goal in 2012. And I would like to continue my efforts to make a full-time living in the professional wrestling business, because I believe that I am talented enough. I believe that aesthetically I am visually pleasing enough, and I believe that only the sky is the limit for whoever wants to give me an opportunity and make an investment in Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Well, I think that you going for the heavyweight title is definitely an interesting option at this point for you. I hope to.
I would agree, but Trent, if I keep having these, you know, hopscotch matches with Michael Hayes because he won't let this issue die after 8 months, then that might never happen. And I blame Michael Hayes. I blame Michael Hayes. This guy has distracted me for so long from stuff that actually matters. I mean, jeez.
But I can tell by your own words that you still feel like you have something to prove to Hayes in the ring. I can tell that.
Trent,
yes.
I promise you this. If I accept this steel cage match for the Saturday Night Special in January, I will tell you this. I will prove everything that I need to prove at that event in this building in that steel cage. Michael Hayes will not leave on his one foot, and I will prove exactly what I'm saying, and that is Michael Hayes is not in my league. He was never in my league. If you take enough at-bats, you're eventually going to hit a single. And that's what Michael Hayes did. He hit a single on me once with a pinfall victory. He hit a single on me once with a submission victory. But I still have beaten him in 4 television matches, 2 other Saturday Night Specials. So the way I look at it, Michael Hayes is not in my league. He's lucky that he's getting the rub off of Muhammad Ali Vaez to begin with. He's lucky that because he's facing me, he's selling all these stupid T-shirts and all these little girls in the crowd are going crazy for him. And I hope he soaks it up. I hope he soaks it up, because after the January Saturday Night Special, if I accept this match, then he's not going to be enjoying the cheers and selling T-shirts much longer. Instead, he's going to go back to the VA hospital for an extended stay. And you can quote me on that, Trent.
Okay, well, I guess...
look, in summary, Trent, I don't like Michael Hayes. That's just the bottom line.
Well, let me ask you this. Are we going to find out this coming Wednesday whether you accept or not, or not yet?
Well, I don't know, Trent. Listen, I'm a dynamic kind of guy, you know. So if I make the decision before Wednesday, then, you know, I'll go to the matchmaker. I'll ask for a little bit of time, and maybe I'll address this situation. Maybe I haven't made up my mind yet. You never know.
If you don't, I guess you're not that concerned with public perception, but I think in a way you are. If you turn down this match, you look like a complete chicken shit. You've almost got to take this match.
Well, see, Trent, see, that's the difference between you and me. I don't give a shit what the Davis Arena regular thinks of me. As you can tell if you've paid attention to the last 220 episodes of Ohio Wrestling Television.
Ali sucks rings through the halls of the Davis Arena on a regular basis, yes.
You know, I seem to get a little bit of the negative emotion from the crowd, and that's fine.
Yes.
You know, they pay their money. They can say what they want. I don't care. At the end of the day, I faced adversity my entire life due to my skin color and my name and my ethnicity. So listening to a bunch of rednecks chant negative things towards me and then maybe thinking that I'm a chicken shit, when in actual reality, Trent, I'm a smart businessman who wants to move on to something that's going to benefit me instead of trying to bring some other kid up to my level, well, maybe that's what it's all about and not being a chicken shit.
Hmm. Food for thought, folks. Food for thought. Muhammad Ali Vaez. Stay tuned to see, you know, what direction he's going to go with this Michael Hayes thing and what direction his career goes in general. And Ali, thank you for joining us today, and good luck at the homecoming SIP show tonight. And our next podcast will be January 8th. Can you join us then, Ali?
Yeah, more than likely I will be available. I believe that's the day after the Saturday night special.
Oh,
so if I do... Yeah.
Yes.
If I do accept that match, Trent, then, you know, at this podcast a month from now, we'll be talking about how bad I kicked in Michael Hayes' face. So this could be an interesting podcast number four. But I just want to thank both you and Larry very much for the opportunity to do this podcast and to get OVW's product and name out there. We tremendously appreciate it. And just remember, when it comes to my career, everything you read on the internet is 100% true. Thank you guys very much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Ali.
Thank you.
Larry?
He doth protest too much about this Hayes thing.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't want to be a negative Nelly or nothing, but, you know, if he accepts this cage match, we might have to have a different co-host next month on the 8th. He may not be able to appear.
You think Hayes could do damage to him?
I think anybody in a cage match can do damage to anybody.
Well, I have to say, I have to favor the guy with two legs.
Yeah, well, I have to favor Ali, but, you know, I hesitate to say Hayes has had his number, but, you know, I mean, Ali dominated a feud early, then Hayes kind of took over, and I don't know. Hayes has always got that 12th man on the field, you know, a screaming crowd supporting him, which it's like his Popeye spinach, you know what I'm saying? So
Right.
I mean, Vaez should win the match easily, but the intangibles are kind of big, you know? So
yeah, the intangibles definitely favor Hayes. This is true.
Yeah, so that's the interesting part about it, you know? So we'll see. I'm going to say I think Ali's going to take the match, because – like you said, if it is sold out, he can claim that he drew another sold out crowd to Davis Arena, if nothing else. You know.
Right.
But I don't know. I see him taking that match. I see him taking that match. I'll be surprised.
I definitely see him taking the match. I think it's irresistible to him. He's going to take it.
I think he just didn't want to give us the scoop. He's already accepted it. I think he's just that stubborn. You know. So.
Yeah, but you definitely got a rise out of him there. That's the most fired up I've heard him on here when you brought up this Hayes character.
Well,
hey, you know, we got a couple minutes left. To, you know, could I fire a couple questions at you about recent developments in over the last, you know, since podcast number two, a few things that have taken place in Ohio Valley?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I was just going to say real quick, and we do have
a few
minutes left. If anybody wants to call in, 347-324-5735, please join us. And go ahead, Larry, fire away.
Well, you know, it just occurs to me since just in the last 4 weeks, the TV title has changed hands twice. When we were on the air last, Silva held it. And since then, it went to Revolver and then just recently to McNally. I just wondered what your thoughts were on the whole thing with the Elite and how that's played out there.
Well, let's put it this way. The Elite needs couples therapy. You know, 2011, have you ever seen a tag team, Larry, in your life that came so close to breaking up but did not actually ever break up, actually had matches with each other and still didn't break up, and then started getting along again for a short period of time. As I've said in a recent report, Adam Revolver, this is one sneaky bastard, this Revolver. And he may be the most heelish babyface in the world. You know, he's a man that's... Okay, we could have talked to Jason Wayne about this too. We didn't. Adam Revolver is on a mission to hold all the OVW titles concurrently. And he had the tag team titles, and he had the TV title. And he went against Jason Wayne in a 16-minute good TV match that he came within like a 2 9/10 count of winning that match. If he would have won that match, he would have been the Triple Crown champion. He ended up going on to lose that match, but he lost the TV title. Took a while to get the television title back. But when he did, he again is going for the... I mean, see, like to me, Adam Revolver doesn't even care about the TV title so much.
Oh, the,
it's like,
the guy,
I
love him. He's pure sleaze. I mean, I think he's just a great TV character. He's become one of my favorites, along with Rudy Switchblade, who is my absolute favorite. I mean, that guy's body language and facial expressions, he's just awesome. But yeah, I mean, absolutely about Revolver. That is some story they've told there with
you
that.
Know,
hey, we do have a caller.
Okay.
No, we do have a caller on the line. Shall we go to him?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Bring him on.
Area code 908. You're on OVW Overview.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Also, that was just fantastic, the way you had Ali on fire earlier.
Thank you. We had him fired up. Maybe.
You
who
just got. But my primary point was about the Leo article that was discussed earlier, although I love where you're talking about the mobile homers and the elite, or mobile homers, a.k.a. the elite.
Yes.
The Leo Weekly article, though, it's titled Learning the Ropes. Who remembers that old, old sitcom from the 80s about the guy who was trying to become a wrestler that featured NWA guest stars occasionally?
What was it called? I don't remember that. Smart
Learning
remember
the
that.
Ropes.
Was it really?
Yeah, I have a vague memory of this, yes.
It was
wow.
Atrocious. And so I'm just a little horrified at the fact that they titled that while writing a glowing article towards OVW. In fact, the episode with Ricky Morton, I think, is what you just need to see just to get the idea of it. It was 80s horrible sitcom at its best. Yep.
I honestly don't remember that. Man, I'm kicking myself. Who were the stars of that show? Do you remember?
You know what? All I know is he was a former football player, and then he committed suicide. Which, you know,
Lyle Alzado.
Not something to laugh about, but.
What,
Lyle
Alzado?
Or
John Matuszek?
I don't recall, honestly. I'm not a football guy myself.
Well, I'm going to look that up after the show. That's actually very interesting information, you know. And,
but I can tell you here, Trent, I agree with our caller. You count your blessings that you do not remember this show.
Okay.
It was awful. He is absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm guessing they just called the Leo article Learning the Ropes because OVW is known as, you know, one of the premier training facilities in the United States. I guess that's where the title for the article came from. But your analogy is very, 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 very humorous. So.
It was Lyle Alzado.
I'll let you get back to the Stone Cold guy. Adam Revolver.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have another caller on the line, I believe.
Okay, bring him on.
Area code 502, you're on OVW Overview.
Hello, OVW? Is it Silent Bob?
It's Silent Bob.
Well, maybe they just want to listen. I don't know. But
yeah. Anyway.
But back to the TV title. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, Larry, what are your thoughts on the all the dual title holders lately? Do you think that's been interesting, or do you think that's kind of muddled things some?
No, I like it. I like it as a story. I mean, we touched on that, I think, on the last show. That I do enjoy that as a storyline theme that they've played out.
And let me ask you, Fire, a couple questions to you about the Elite. I mean, I think the Elite booking has been some of the most interesting on the show. But I'm kind of conflicted because I'm wondering if it's just gone on too long. Where do you fall on that?
Pretty much in agreement with you that it's one of the most interesting stories I've seen told in that, you know, it looks like they're going to break up. They don't break up. All of the twists and turns of it.
Right.
I didn't so much like Mick Naylor beating him with 1 second left in the match this week.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. And if anybody hasn't seen the TV show yet, I guess this will be a spoiler. And turn this part down if you don't want to hear about if you haven't watched
Oops.
This week's show yet. That's okay. If you haven't watched it, fine. But, yeah, it was Elite versus Elite. McNaylor versus Revolver for the OVW TV title, and what a strange match. Basically, Revolver took the microphone and tried to talk McNaylor out of doing the match, and this continued while the match was going on. I mean, McNaylor had the guy in a figure four and a spinning
brother rules. Brother rules.
Yeah, brother rules. No to the head or below the belt, right? That was brother rules. I mean, part of it was funny. The match trudged along. The crowd, I can tell you live, Larry, the crowd had no freaking idea what to make of this. No idea. It was just like, what in the hell is this? And it was funny because right before the match started, Revolver said, Ted, the people don't want to see this. And you know what? I was inclined to agree with him by the end of this. But what happened was it turned into one of these OVW track meets with 1 minute left in the time limit, and Revolver just trying to stall out the clock and hold the title. And with, 4 seconds left, McNaylor managed to hit his spear and pin Revolver and win the OVW TV title with 1 second on the clock. I wrote my report as a little bit cutesy. I don't know. I don't know. I guess we're going to see more of these guys fight each other now, wouldn't you think? We have to.
Yeah.
We have to. I mean, it's been an interesting time for the title situations have been quite volatile, really. TV title, the OVW heavyweight title. You mentioned Rudy Switchblade being your favorite character. What a reign, this guy has had, winning the OVW title in a memorable 8-man melee match on television. What a match that was. And since then, boy, you think about this guy's reign. It's been like a reign of terror with a couple wins mixed in. He lost a non-title match to Mike Mondo, but then he put Mondo over the top rope with a noose, hung Mondo. Mondo finally came back this last Wednesday to get revenge. It looks like Switchblade's in trouble there. A couple days later, after he injured Mondo, Switchblade injured Jamin Olivencia, gave him a pile driver on a concrete floor on top of a steel chair. We have not seen Jamin back in action since that time. Then it went to Switchblade defeating Randy Terez at Saturday Night Special. And before that, they had a match that went, Switchblade and Terez went like 30 minutes, and they ran out of TV time in 30 minutes. They couldn't get it all in, and now Switchblade has defeated Jason Wayne in a no DQ match. And this wake-up call stuff by Switchblade, I would say this is pretty much the highlight of Switchblade's career. Would you agree, Larry? It's been pretty interesting.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he has that ability. I mean, he's not a very large guy, but he has that ability to carry himself as a much larger person than he is. I mean, he fills the screen when he's out there. It's really fun to watch. And he and McScagney, they are such scum. It's a perfect combination, I think.
Yeah, and the thing is, Switchblade was very, very popular, I guess upper mid-card babyface in OVW, but very popular with the fans. And it took him a while to really turn that guy to a strong heel. That was not an easy sell because even when he was feuding with Olivencia over the fall, some really intense matches, Switchblade still had a lot of fans, even though he was straight up heel and just kicking guys in the nuts. It took him a long time, but now he's pretty despised now. So they finally got him turned. Like I said, Mondo made his return at the end of the TV taping Wednesday night. An angry Mike Mondo came out put his sweatshirt over his face and ended up choking Switchblade with the OVW title. So it looks like Switchblade's going to have to answer for the sins of his past here shortly. So I don't know how long he can hold on to the title. I would say it's tenuous, but I don't know. With McScagney's corner, these guys are, there's nothing these guys won't stoop to, put it that way. So we'll see what happens. I mean, did you think that I wasn't really, I mean, I like Randy Terez, and he's popular with the crowd, but I, just putting him in the number one contender slot, I thought that was a little weak. What'd you think of that?
Well, yeah, I thought they, you created a situation where they could have a good, really good match, but not a situation where people would believe that Terez was taking the belt.
And the thing is, Terez came out to check on Olivencia. Olivencia got injured, and the next week, Terez was a number one contender. He really didn't do anything to be that. If anything, they should have had him maybe take on Switchblade first, to for revenge for Jamin. And if Terez won, then he got a match. you know. Mm-hmm. Just to put him in that role was kind of like, eh, you know, you knew the match would be good, but, you know, he didn't really seem like he or felt like he earned the number one contendership. You know, just kind of came out of left field, you know. But the matches between those two guys are good.
Yeah, they got a good chemistry when it comes to the match itself. Hey, quickly, your thoughts on Taylor Hendricks and Lady JoJo's feud, excuse me.
Well, I mean, I'm glad Taylor Hendricks is around because, you know, the OVW Divas division is not deep, but I think they do their best they can to make it interesting with the thin numbers it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Taylor Hendricks, I like her. I don't know that her and JoJo have fantastic chemistry in the ring, but they do have, when they're in there, though, it is kind of, I don't know, it's like, it's not smooth, but it's hard fought, if that makes any sense. You know,
yeah.
They don't work together smoothly, but it's hard fought, you know. And I really like Lady JoJo's character. I think she's very entertaining. I mean, the crowd has been maybe a little slow to warm up to Hendricks, but they like her. I think she's getting more popular. And I think she's an actually fairly interesting girl wrestler. I think she's one of those girls that, you know, can do a lot, you know, in the ring. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, I guess my money, I mean, Hendricks beat JoJo Wednesday night to retain the women's title, but I guess my money's on JoJo to get it back. But I will say I would really like to see Mickey Knuckles return to OVW and take on Lady JoJo because they, in their short matches, those gals were really good with each other, and I would love to see those two have like a 15-minute match to see what would happen.
Well, I will absolutely second that emotion, yeah.
And we'll see what happens. Mickey Knuckles is, they have a bi-weekly show, A1WA, at Davis Green right now, and Paul Burchill is on top of that promotion. And
I was
going to
ask you about that. I saw that he was wrestling Vic the Bruiser, or will be wrestling Vic the Bruiser.
Yeah, he has wrestled them, I think. Yeah, those are bi-weekly shows every Thursday is what they're doing. I don't know what the story is, but, yeah, they're using Davis Green for those shows every Thursday with Paul Burchill on top. And Mickey Knuckles has been working those shows, at least one of them. So I hope she gets back in OVW because you talk about a chick that can go. That chick can just flat go. She works like a man, and I mean that in the highest compliment. You know, and then just real quickly, I guess we'll talk on the tag team title since the Elite are after a couples therapy. Smooth Johnny Spade and Chavo Jones won the tag team titles, which really pretty darn good team, don't you think?
I like Shiloh Jones a lot. I mean, he's come. Well,
yeah.
I like them both, but Shiloh Jones has come on so strong.
Yeah, I mean, Smooth Johnny Spade, that guy works an exciting style. You know, I mean, the problem is it's kind of like the ladies. The problem is the tag team division is not deep. You know, there's not a lot of teams to choose from, but they seem to come up, you know, with somebody. I don't know who's going to challenge. I guess the Elite could go challenge them again. I guess maybe James Moose Thomas and Rocco Bellagio. Looks like Tony Gunn maybe could find a partner and go after it, but it's not like they have a deep tag team division, but I do like the team of Jones and Spade. And as we talked off air, Larry, they also have added a director of authority in OVW in Trailer Park Trash. And, you know, off air, I'll just say, you say you enjoyed it more than I did. I've been kind of like, I really wish they would have added some kind of authority figure because some decisions they were making for months kind of seemed like they had guys making their own matches, but now that they have an authority figure, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of sorry. I wish for it because
that's not the authority figure you wish for.
No, and I'm hoping at least Dana Davis coming back. I don't know. I think Trailer Park Trash is an okay talker, but it's just like, Muskegon's out there ranting and raving about this and that, and then Davis is like, okay, Christian, Mr. Davis also says. Now, you says you like that. You kind of like the fact that Trailer Park Trash wasn't selling Muskegon's rants and raves. Is that right?
Yeah, but he doesn't let him get under his skin. You know, he just sort of blows him off. You know, he's amused.
Yeah.
He's amused by him. He doesn't really get upset about it. I kind of like it
was,
but no, go ahead.
It was a setup. You know what I mean? Like so far, Trailer Park Trash is kind of getting outsmarted at some junctures. You know, and
well, he certainly did this last week.
Yeah, you know, and you're going to set up a no DQ match and bring out a special referee and Bill Clark. Well, a ref is powerless in a no DQ match.
Yeah, that made no sense.
Then they want to, and I know Trailer Park Trash is doing the booking. I mean, I get that. You know, he's the guy doing the authority thing. And see, I don't want an authority figure that's out there two or three times a show. At this point, I would like somebody that's out there maybe once a month for a real main thing. You know what I mean? And that's it. to make it count here and there.
In that sense, you know, Davis is perfect. I mean, because he's so great in the role to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, he'd be perfect for it. But I don't want him out there. If it's Jim Cornette, yeah, you can go about a couple times a show because he'll entertain me, you know. But anybody else, you don't want that a couple times a show, you know, because it's too much and that's been done to death. But just, I want an authority figure just for certain things, you know, is what I want. Right now they have this guy coming out several times a show, which is, you know. And then you're gonna ban Muskegon from ringside in a no DQ match. Well, shit, all he's going to do is come back out. What are you going to do? It's a no DQ. So some of the stuff is, and the setup, it was just like Trailer Park Trash all of a sudden. As a director of authority, and he tells, you know, Prince Bowen that he can't physically attack him because he's director of authority. We hadn't seen Trailer Park Trash since his partner Jack Black got injured. What I would have done is I would have, like, had a scenario where Trailer Park Trash was, like, in the parking lot, like looking with a crowbar or something and looking to beat up Bowen Services 2.0, and, like, Danny Davis comes up to him and starts talking to him. And Trailer Park Trash, you know, says, I'm going to kill these guys. I hurt my tagging partner. But then it goes to a thing where Trailer Park Trash says, you know, Danny, it's kind of been a little tough year for me, and Christmas is coming, and I don't have a lot of money and stuff like that. And then Danny Davis offers him the job as director of authority on the condition that he can't do anything physical. And that's what I would have done. And then it comes to a point where it's either Bowling Services or it's Muskegon pushes him to the point where he does something physical and gets fired from the role and then goes to something else. And maybe even turns heel.
Yeah, that's a lot more story than, obviously they didn't give us anything to really explain it very well.
The only thing they did explain is he's in the role and can't do anything physical. They gave us that.
Right.
You know? So I was like,
Speaking of the Fat and the Furious, where do you think they're going with Jack Black's recent appearances?
Well, I'm actually told that he legit had some type of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which you know, when Bowling Services attacked him backstage with a chair several weeks ago, he had some type of surgery. So, you know what? It looks like it may be months down the road, and of course OVW is pretty good about not forgetting their storylines. You know what I mean? And generally speaking, they come back to it. It looks like at some point he's going to come back, maybe down the road, and maybe it'll either be a feel-good story where he's back with Trailer Park Trash as a feel-good, or somebody's going heel. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, because they're setting it up like the guys feel a little bit sorry for him. You know, he's a good guy, you know, but he can't do anything, you know. But so something's brewing there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where that's going, you know. But it seems like it's going somewhere. Because they ran two big nets on it. You know, they could have done a retirement thing with them just one time, but the fact that they've ran two makes me think they're going somewhere with it, you know. But I don't know. It may be something that doesn't pay off for 4 or 5 months, possibly, you know.
Right, right. But, hey, before we go, I've got to touch on the announcing on OVW. It is just a pleasure to listen to that show and be entertained by the consistently entertained by the announcing. It adds to me. It adds a lot to that show. I like all of the announcers on there. But you know, Gilbert Corsi is the kind of announcer that wrestling needs. I mean,
he's got the emotion in his voice.
Yeah,
you know, he's good technically enough to get by. He's a legit anchor on Fox 41. He lends a great air of credibility. He's got a good look, you know. There's a lot of pluses to the table, you know. And it's like, to me, like, when you listen to Dean Hill, especially when Gilbert isn't there, and it's Dean Hill and Kenny Bolin, it's not the same as, like, Lance and Dave, but it's got the same relaxed feel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what they're going to talk about, you know what I mean? It's because those guys are obviously friends, you know, away from the ring. But it's because they'll focus on the match and they really know how to sell the stories that are being told. You know, you just don't know how to sell them. But then all of a sudden, it'll tail off into something.
Exactly. But it's a nice blend of they don't lose sight of the story, but then they're doing these other things that are entertaining besides the story.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of, you know, little tongue-in-cheek funny references about this and that. Yeah, it's definitely – I would say it's an announced team that you're not going to get anywhere else, you know,
no.
In wrestling. And But yeah, they know how to get the stories across, but yet it's how can I say it? They know when to give a hard sell, but it's still not, it doesn't come across as like annoying shilling. You know what I mean by that? You know, it's
right.
Like these are,
I agree.
They're putting they know what to put over. Yeah, it definitely kind of has that old Memphis feel to a degree. You know what I mean? That they're just kind of relaxed, and you know, these guys have been there for years and know what they're doing. And Gilbert Corson kind of does add kind of that new exciting voice to it when he's there. You know, and they
new and exciting, but very traditional in his approach to announcing wrestling in a lot of ways.
Yes. And it's like I think I mentioned on the last podcast, anybody that buys the OVW DVDs, go to OVWWrestling.com anytime and buy some DVDs. let me just say that the DVD commentary is a little more relaxed than the television commentary. it can go from G-rated to blue pretty quick on these DVDs. You never know what they're going to say. And I can only imagine, and I've been told, I've never heard it, but I can imagine, you know, sometimes when they're having fun and goofing around during the dark matches, I can imagine those conversations. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. You're right. It's good stuff for sure. So, looks like 2012. Oh, I wanted to mention, too, that it's been real quiet on the TNA front, at least for the public, but last Tuesday, all of a sudden, Lowrider Matt Barella, Anarchy and TNA, and Rob Terry both made appearances at the OVW house show in New Albany, Indiana. So there's some, of course, Lowrider lives in Louisville, so that's no surprise. But it looks like Rob Terry is coming in, I guess. And I know that I saw online where they're training that was Jesse, what's his name, Jesse Godders? Is that his name?
Jesse
reality?
Godders, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't made any appearances yet, but apparently he's here training. So we are starting to see some TNA people starting to trickle in here. So it should be an interesting 2012. I did want to mention real quick, if you listen to the show and you want to be a part of it, you know, every month we have a different guest. I'm kind of thinking on right now of, like, rotating. Like, today we had Jason Wayne. Like, maybe one show, and the show before that we had Mike Johnson, a PW Insider. I'm kind of thinking, like, of rotating it right now, of doing one show, having an outside person watch an episode or two, come on and talk about it, and then the next episode have an OVW guest on there. So if you're listening to the show and, you know, you want to take the challenge and – or even if you have been watching or haven't been watching, and if you want to take the challenge and come on and, you know, give your thoughts on OVW's current product, shoot me an email at tvd65, and sometime in 2012 we'll hook you up and get you on the show. You know, the more the merrier is what I say about it. So, Larry, again, we'll be back on January the 8th, 2011. Now, I'm going to go Muhammad Ali Baez on you. I have a big guest that gave me a tentative confirmation, but I hesitate to say the name because it may not happen. But I have a big guest lined up for that show, so hopefully they'll come through. If not, we'll go a different direction. But, Larry, are you in for January the 8th, buddy?
I believe I am. The only possible thing that I didn't think of when you brought this up before is that I may go to Rampage that day. But if we get the big guest, then I'll work around it.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I will let you know, but then this is a big guess. Trust me, I'm not blowing smoke. If I got this, it would be a big one, would it not, Larry? It would be a big one.
I think it would be a big one. Yeah, yeah. That'd be a big one.
Yeah.
And another, you know, my other request is before too much time elapses, Rudy Switchblade.
Yeah. Well, we'll get that going too. We'll get that on the show. Yeah. Well, I will definitely have him in mind, so we'll get him on the show. So. You know, thank you for joining us, and thanks to Muhammad Ali Baez. Thanks to Jason Wayne. Thanks to our caller. Thanks to you, Larry. And I want you folks to all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll see everybody January 8th. Thank you. Goodbye.